The State Department of Natural Resources wants to change regulations on weapons discharge in Chilkat State Park. And Representative Sam Keto III says a recent visit to Skagway brought his attention to a few local concerns he hopes to help with. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The Alaska Department of Natural Resources is proposing changes to what they say are confusing firearms restrictions in Chilkat State Park. The suggested change would open all of the park to legal discharge of weapons, except within half a mile of a road or developed facility. The current DNR regulations allow for discharge of a weapon for lawful hunting or trapping in the northern portion of Chilkat State Park, from Battery Point Trail south and west to Letnikoff Cove.
To use those two things as a demarcation line wasn't very clear. I mean, yeah, that's not normally what we would do, and I don't know why this language was in there.
That's DNR's Southeast Area Parks Superintendent Mike Eberhardt. He says the current restrictions don't make much sense, and usually DNR demands more clarity in regulations they enforce.
So I think DNR is clarifying that mistake that happened a long time ago.
Stephanie Sell is a wildlife biologist with State Fish and Game who oversees hunting in the Chilkat Valley. She says if DNR lifts the restriction on discharge of weapons in the southern section of the park, hunting and trapping would be allowed by Fish and Game.
You know, it kind of didn't make a whole lot of sense that they would be able to hunt in the upper section that was closer to town versus the southern section that's kind of down on the peninsula. And so I think when they were actually writing up the language, there was it got changed at the last minute, and nobody really knows why. So I think people have been kind of fighting to say, well, why can't we hunt in the lower section? It seems like that's a little more safe.
Sell says she's heard from people throughout the years wondering why they couldn't hunt moose in the southern portion of the park.
This is kind of getting the ball rolling with listening to the public and going back and looking at, you know, the history of this regulation and kind of rectifying what sort of miscommunication happened well before my time.
Eberhardt with DNR says the issue was first brought to his attention about 15 years ago. He says after hearing about it throughout the years, he decided to bring the issue up the food chain at DNR to get it changed. And Eberhardt says for DNR, the main purpose of the proposed change is to increase public safety. In almost all instances where weapons discharge is allowed in a state park, there's a buffer zone around roads, trails, and other developed facilities. In the case of Chilkat State Park, that prohibition isn't there.
We don't want the discharge of firearms within half mile of a developed facility.
Eberhardt says the half-mile buffer would make safer areas that are currently unprotected, including Battery Point Trail and Mount Riley Trail. He says while he doesn't know of any accidents that have happened because of that oversight.
What I hope is it'll prevent anyone from being, you know, injured in the future by clarifying our discharge of firearms. So.
While DNR hopes the regulation change will help protect people, Sell, with Fish and Game, hopes it will make hunting restrictions less confusing. She says if the new regulations were to pass before September 15th, this year's moose hunt would be allowed in a wider area of the Chilkat Peninsula.
But, you know, that being said, you know, we allow somewhere between 20 to 25 bulls that have the right antler configuration to be harvested in the Haines or in Unit 1D and specifically in the Chilkat Valley. You know, and if we start seeing a bunch of moose coming out of that southern section, that's something I'm going to keep an eye on. You know, we don't want to deplete populations that have been kind of protected for a while, but, you know, it certainly opens up some more opportunity for people for sure.
People interested in commenting on the proposed regulation changes have until this Friday at 5 p.m. to do so. Comments can be submitted to DNR by email, fax, or mail. Representative Sam Keto III visited Skagway earlier this month, and he says he learned about some local issues which he hopes to help with. Keto is a Democrat in the Alaska House representing Juneau, Haines, Skagway, Kluckwan, Gustavus, and Excursion Inlet. Keto says pedestrian safety in general and specifically on State Street was one concern he heard about from Skagway residents.
There is a very active local discussion about crosswalks on State Street and location of those crosswalks.
The State Department of Transportation is planning a repaving of State Street in 2017. Some Skagway residents have petitioned for DOT to paint a crosswalk on State and 6th before the repaving happens. Keto says he plans to work with DOT as they go through the design phase of the renovation project to make sure pedestrian safety is considered. The draft winter ferry schedule for the Alaska Marine Highway is another area of concern for Skagway residents. Keto says he did not submit any of his own comments on the Marine Highway's proposed winter schedule. He says he is working with DOT on the overarching issue of sustainable funding for ferries.
And I do believe that Marine Highway System should be able to identify some operational efficiencies to decrease cost. They can look at their fare structure and find ways to increase revenues for the Marine Highway System. They should be able to do that if they do it carefully without decreasing the amount of ridership.
Keto also heard concerns from members of the Skagway Traditional Council. He says the council is trying to protect some early native graves in Dyea from Taya River erosion.
So we are working to try and initiate contact with Department of Natural Resources and the Federal Park Service to see about if there's a way that we can assist in making sure that protection of those graves or possible working with the community and the elders to see if there might be opportunities to find a suitable relocation area for some of those graves.
Overall, Keto says he feels Skagway is doing a good job of addressing local issues. Keto is planning a visit to Haines and Kluckwan on August 11th and 12th. Volunteers are finishing up a new climbing tower at the Haines Fairgrounds. They hope the 44-foot tower will be ready for use in time for the Southeast Alaska State Fair starting this Thursday. KHNS's Greta Mart reports.
Fair Executive Director Jessica Edwards describes how the wall came about.
We had a dedicated group of volunteers that were interested in climbing and wanted to see a big and challenging wall that could also accommodate beginners and constructed at the fair. These folks came together, they organized work parties, and they made it happen in like 3 days. And it was pretty amazing community effort.
The wall is 30 feet tall. It's topped by a 14-foot roof structure. For those not ready to scramble up a completely vertical wall, a portion of the tower is fitted with an angled section.
We're going to have an easier side and a harder side. So right now these guys are working on the harder side of the wall.
That's Fair Board of Directors Chairman Eric Forrester. He explains the tower's belay system.
At the very top of the tower, we have what's called a True Blue Auto Belay System, which is a mechanized belay device which allows individuals to climb without having to have direct supervision by a belayer. A belayer is someone that keeps you from falling off the wall.
4 utility poles provide the tower's frame. Once the poles were in place, the volunteer construction crew installed 2x6 decking to create the wall. Next, the crew will create the climbing route by attaching custom-made stone handholds via through bolts and epoxy, just like those common at indoor climbing gyms. The wall is located behind the McPherson Barn in the far southeast corner of the fairgrounds. Forrester says 2 people will be able to climb at one time.
Once you get the go-ahead, you just make your way to the top of the wall any way you can, and if you fall, then you get lowered back gently to the ground.
And there are other plans in the works.
We also have another team that's working to put a zip line in as well. It starts up by the baseball field and is going to make its way across the fairgrounds and land on the tower. So we're hopefully having all sorts of new rides and events here at the fair this year.
At the moment, fair officials have only secured insurance for use of the tower during the 4 days of the fair. Edwards says staff and the board are in the process of coming up with a plan for future use of the climbing tower after the fair. She says it's a liability issue and that it's uncertain at the moment. But they want the community to have access to the tower, whether it's through a dedicated climbing group or club. Those interested should contact the fair office at the start of August to get in on the conversation. In Haines, I'm Greta Mart.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.